Thank you to the team for their faithfulness in helping us in worship, leading out and singing and just helping. It's such a wonderful blessing. That includes the team across the back wall in the booth. So glad for their faithfulness. And thank you, Bill, for reading for us this morning. I'm grateful for each of you who are willing, when I ask, to come and stand and read Scripture for us. And if you love to read and would like to participate in that rotation, it's not going to be you're going to know that every fourth Sunday you're going to get to read. It just happens. But if you would like to be a part of that rotation, I would be delighted to know that. Some people are not comfortable reading in front of others or standing in front of others, but if you think maybe it's time that you jump that hurdle, then let me know. We can have a brief conversation. You could do that in an email or a text as well, because I'm more likely to remember it, having received it that way, or maybe both ways, conversation and another reminder. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2 today. As we begin this new year, I just reminded of the importance that we need to give attention in the life of the church to the work of the church and to the strength of the church and to how the church really is established, and I think that's important. This passage in Acts chapter 2, of course, portions of it are pretty exciting, you know, maybe the most important and exciting part of it, maybe not important, but the most exciting parts of it is that as a result of what took place, about 3,000 people were added to the church. 3,000 people were born again on that day, and that can be very exciting, right? And we need to remember that the work of the church is about helping people come to that place where they know the truth of Jesus and can be born again. If you remember in John chapter 3, Jesus had a conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus didn't really get it because he was steeped in religious history and the law, and he really didn't get it. But Jesus clearly gave him instruction. You must be born again. Born of the Spirit of God. And so as we open the scripture today to Acts chapter 2, I want to begin reading actually in verse 37, because this is at the end of the sermon that that Peter had been preaching, and they came to a clear understanding of what it was they needed to do. And so I just want these first two verses as a little bit of a background. But in verse 37, the scripture then says, "When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' And Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" And then verse 39 brings such clarity. "For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So here the apostle is, actually Luke is writing this, and as he reports this part of the story, he just so clearly says, this is for the world. This is bigger than you. This is bigger. Let's not forget that. And let's not forget that here in our little expression of the body of Christ. "For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he testified and strongly urged them, saying, "Be saved from this corrupt generation." So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, this morning, as we open your word and we allow it to speak to us, help us to be sensitive both personally and collectively. Individually, as members of the great and grand body of Christ, which is in the world today with a commission to go and make disciples, but also as participants in a local body who have the charge to do ministry and to grow up into Christ and to share with others what it means to know Jesus. Father, teach us and use this time for your glory in our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Really, the initial part of this message that I began to think about was only that latter portion that began in verse 42, where it says, they devoted themselves. And I want to just say today that I want for you to hear the Lord say, let us devote ourselves. The scripture says and calls us together, and we're a part of this body in Christ because he has gathered us here. And as he has gathered us here, he has called us and encouraged us and instructed us to devote ourselves. Now, he gives some further instruction about what that means, but he gives us basically this list of things that we are to devote ourselves to. And so as we think about that, verse 42 once again says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, as I just looked at the whole context several times this week and began to think about some things, I thought it was maybe important for us to go back to that verse 37 and just revisit what was taking place at that point. Because here, these are people who are gathered from all over the place. As we open the book of Acts and we begin reading there, we recognize that Acts 2 especially is an explosive growth of the church because people were gathered together in Jerusalem for whatever particular reason there was. And there were many people from many nations who were gathered there in Jerusalem at this time. And this is about 50 days past the resurrection of Christ. It's called the resurrection, it's called Pentecost. And as we think of this today, we recognize that the people were listening to some really good preaching that was being preached for the first time, most likely in the hearing of most of them. They had not really heard very much of the gospel message or gospel preaching since the time of the resurrection of Christ. They had come through this horrible experience of the crucifixion, and there had been a big stir about the resurrection of Christ, and certainly the scripture reveals that Christ revealed himself and made himself seen and known by, 500 or more people during the time that he was with us on earth after the resurrection and before his ascension. But many people were, things had kind of settled down around him. There are still probably conversations about this going on all the time. But Peter comes and he begins to preach, as Luke records it here in the book of Acts. And the Acts, of course, is called the Acts of the Apostles, but really it's the Acts of the early church. It's the establishment of the early church. And how it came about and how it came to be. And so in verse 37, as they had been hearing and listening to Peter, they heard things and perhaps the Holy Spirit gave them assurance and conviction and understanding that they had never had before because they'd never really heard this before. And many, many were saved. Verse 37 says, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what should we do? I want to just ask you, or maybe remind you, that very likely in the time of you coming to a place where you said, yes, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, there was something that took place in your life and in your heart that pierced you. It pierced you through to your core because you understood perhaps for the first time that you were a sinner and that the result of your sin was separation from the God who created you, the God who loved you, the God who provided for you and made everything good for you. And you had sinned against him, and therefore you were going to be separated from him for all of eternity. My friends, if there's not been a piercing of your heart about your sin, there perhaps yet needs to be. Because you and I need to recognize that our sin has brought us to this place of horrible condition, horrible separation from God, and we need his help. And how do we receive that? Well, Peter gives pretty clear instruction about that. How are we born again? Well, repent and be baptized. Here we are not suggesting that these are works that are required in order that we might be saved, because we know that it is by grace we are saved through faith. But my friends, if you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and you do not think you need to repent of something, there's something wrong. You don't understand Jesus. You don't understand what your sinfulness has done in your relationship with him. There is, I don't believe any Christian anywhere who has not come to understand that they need to leave certain things behind. They need to turn away from sinfulness. Yes, we receive so much instruction and truth and teaching from the law in the Old Testament about what sin is. And that's so helpful to us. But we also, even in the expression of the New Testament, as Paul writes to the churches, he is so faithful in helping us have clarity about those things that are really a struggle between us and the Lord, you know, those things that we do. How often does he speak about immorality? How often does he speak about idolatry? How often does he speak about all of these things that we need to leave behind, that we need to repent from, that we need to turn away from, and we need to repent? And baptism is this act of obedience before the Lord as he has said and as he has even commanded the church. I'm not sure I think it's an act of obedience of the individual, absolutely. But I think it's also an act of obedience to the church because he said to the church, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And as we teach, we come to new understandings of what we need to repent from. I think somebody can walk with Christ and be a really fine Christian for 50 or more years or 60 or 70 years, and in the experience of their life come face to face with something in Scripture and realize, I have not repented of this, and I must walk with Jesus, and therefore I will repent and I will leave those things behind. I think there's probably a general repentance. A repentance of the heart that says, okay, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to put my eyes on him, and I'm going to consider that it is him who I want to bring glory and honor to. I think there's a general repentance that has to take place. That's one of those things that happens when we cry out and we say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Please forgive me of all that I have done. And there will be some certain things that are perhaps prominent in your mind as you think about what your sin is and has been. But there is this general sense of forgiveness that as we come to the Lord, I'm turning away from my habits of sin, my life of sin, and I'm turning to put my faith and my trust in Jesus, and my eyes are on you, Lord, and because of that, I'm going to follow you, and therefore those sins are going to fall off of me. They're going to stay behind. I'm going to get loose of that weight that trips me up and that causes me to have difficulty in the finishing of the race. So he's called us to repent and be baptized. It's in order that we might know the forgiveness of our sins and that we might also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, to know the very promise and the presence of Christ. My friends, if you continue in sin, you will very soon come to a place where you are, it's just somehow seems like the Holy Spirit is not as present with you. For you cannot grieve the Holy Spirit. You cannot cause the Holy Spirit to be troubled within you and remain in your sin and have contentment as a believing person in Christ. That's not saying the Spirit has left you. It's not saying that he's gone, but you know, sometimes if you ignore someone long enough, it's almost like they're not even there. You know, people go to work all the time, and there may be someone at the next desk or in the next cubicle, or there might be somebody working at the next station, or wherever it may be that you are. And if they don't really connect with them somehow, they can kind of get in the habit of ignoring them, not paying any attention. I got my work to do. I'm going to do my work. I'm going to get my paycheck. I'm going to go home. And all of that. And if you ignore somebody, even though they are still present, long enough, you'll find that it's almost like they're not even there. That happens in people's homes too. Children feel like this in homes where parents don't give faithful attention to them, who don't give love and appreciation and teaching and that sort of thing. It's almost like a parent comes to the place where they can ignore the fact that the child is even present, except for the fact that they act up every once in a while, and then it's all negative, right? All negative correction. I just use that simply as an opportunity to help us understand that if we ignore the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives as one who may have been truly saved and have come into this relationship and rejoiced in the reality of the Spirit at one time in our life, once we begin to ignore the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in us, then we may just begin to act like he's not even there. And that oh so grieves the Spirit, who is indeed a gift of God. Well, we want to repent and be baptized. Then we want to be saved from this corrupt generation. You know, there's not one of us that doesn't look around us and see corruption. We you know, things are abused, things are messed up, things are just wrong-headed along the way. And we know that we are in a corrupt generation. It's no different today than it has been since the days of Cain and Abel, since the days of Adam and Eve. It's no different. Sin entered into the world, and therefore corruption entered into the world. Brokenness entered into the world. And we need to be saved from this corrupt generation. And let me just say it this way. The passage uses the word from in this translation. I want to use the word out of, all right? If we are saved from something, we are brought out of that. We are saved out of the corruption of this world. And if we are saved out of something, we are saved into something else. We are saved into the joys, the freedoms, the purposes, and the intents of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been saved out of this corrupt generation, and we have been saved into the kingdom of Christ. If there is anything about Christ that's different from this world, it is that he is perfect and holy and pure and righteous and without blemish or sin. He is incorrupt. And we are saved, as part of Paul's teaching teaches us, we are saved out of that which is corruptible into that which is incorruptible. And therefore, we are saved into this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we leave that sinfulness behind. And so, this thought that we want to repent, this thought that we need to be saved from the corrupt generation, leads to then verse 42, where it says, they devoted themselves. We need to be devoted. You know, there are a lot of things that you can be devoted to in life, right? You might be devoted to your spouse. You might be devoted to your children. You might be devoted to your job. You might be devoted to your hobbies. You might be devoted to certain other things. We can be devoted to the things that bring us joy. You might be devoted to your team. We love our teams, right? But do they drive us? Do they motivate us? Are they why we get up in the morning? That's what being devoted is. Being devoted is what you live for. What are you living for today? And the scripture calls us that we need to be devoted. We need to be devoted. And in the body of Christ, we are called in this verse to be devoted. Why? Well, we're called to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. And let me just say, that's not just your preacher. That's not just your Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about the Word of God. Now, hopefully your preacher and your Sunday school teacher are being faithful and true in the Word of God, but we need to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, which is given to us through the letters that are written in the New Testament, the teaching of the law, even of the Old Testament, the joyous teachings of wisdom and poetry that come from the Psalms of praise and the Proverbs and the Ecclesiastes verses that just exalt the Savior, that exalt God and all of who He is. And certainly the teaching of the Word of God that gives us understanding of prophecy. Because without the prophecy, we're stuck with a very limited understanding of what the hope is that we've received through faith in Christ. And so we have a wonderful hope. We have a wonderful promise and hope. And my friends, we want to be devoted to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, the sharing of time together, the having conversations and encouraging one another and spending those moments, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And to prayer. It may be that in our lives we might find ourselves a little better at some of these things. There might be someone who's an excellent student who is able to open the scripture and read the scripture and have understanding of things that just amazes others of us. Or we might be just one who is the life of any gathering, and they are such an encouragement and a strength for other people as they do gather and as they are encouraged just by being present and around one another. Or sometimes it's somebody who just calls us to a better life. You know, I want to just answer the question of why we need to be devoted real quickly here, okay? Because I think it pours out of these things that are listed in verse 42. The question of why we be devoted is, number one, that we be sharing in the spiritual life in Christ. That we be sharing in the spiritual life which we have received in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what the purpose and the opportunities of our gathering are in this place. And when that is not taking place, then we struggle, don't we? And perhaps when it is not taking place, we might need to recognize that we have a calling ourselves and we have an opportunity to step forward and to choose in our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ to be an encourager in those spiritual things, having conversations about the scriptures, having conversations about the things that are honoring and glorifying to God. Is there anybody that you know that when they gather with you, whatever group you're with them in, is that they're always pointing to something out of the scripture? I'm gonna use a brother who's not able to be with us, but who is still with us, and our brother Daryl. There was never a time that I was with my brother Daryl Worth that I did not find encouragement from God's Word. I did not find that he was pointing back to something in the scripture that would either give affirmation or correction for some part of a conversation that we were having together. There's never been a time like that. And my friend, it may be that you need to be called for that in your personal relationships, in your connections with people, that you need to be doing that in your groups, wherever you find yourself with Christian people, that you need to be one of those who encourage and who fosters the conversations that reflect our spiritual life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's one of the reasons that we need to be devoted to one another, because it's awful easy for conversations to devolve into something else we have in common. I mean, I think we have wonderful connections and we love one another because we have other things in common. I mean, sometimes we connect because we have children that are similar in age or habit or problems. I don't even know. Sometimes we're connected because of that. Sometimes we're connected because of other struggles that we have in life. Sometimes we're connected because of work. Sometimes we're connected because we do like the same team. Okay? That's just one of the realities. I have some people in my life who like the same teams. They have some of the same struggles, and they are seeking to walk with Christ, and we're good for each other. We're good for each other. It's encouraging to me to spend time with people like that. And we need to work toward that opportunity and be able to share in the spiritual life we have in Christ. And then we want to be devoted, as it says here, in fellowship, and to the sharing of our everyday lives. Why? Oh, that's a why in the answer why. We are devoted. Why? Because we want to be sharing in our everyday lives. But why do we share in our everyday lives? Because we need that encouragement. We need that kind of building up of one another in that relationship we have in Christ. And we need teaching. We are bound together in the body of Christ because not only do we need to be encouraged along the way because we're struggling, but we need the teaching of God's Word. We need the teaching of experience. We need the teaching of the way of living that brings glory and honor to the Lord Jesus along the way. And then another part of that why is we need accountability. We need somebody who's going to challenge us, who's going to test us, who's going to say, hey, you know, you said last week, or you said 2 weeks ago, or you said 3 years ago that you were going to do this in your walk with Christ, that you were going to be faithful, and every day you're going to spend time reading God's Word and praying and memorizing God's Word and allowing God's Word to really impact and permeate every part of your life. How are you doing in that? Yeah, it's a lot easier to ask that question 3 days later than it is 3 years later. But really, you know, we want to be able to have that kind of accountability with someone. We want to build relationships of trust where we can expect that from each other. I fear that it's been way too long, and I'm guilty as well, but I fear that it's been way too long for some of us where someone else in the body of Christ has come to us and said, how are you doing in your walk with Jesus? How are you doing? Are you spending time in the Word? Is God's Word challenging you? Are you faithful in praying? What about your family life and your family devotion? I just want you to know I'm praying for you and I love you and I'm caring for you. How long has it been, perhaps, for you since someone has asked you those questions? I think for some, it's because we see them as leaders among us, and we may not feel like we really need to ask them that question because they're leading and they're doing well, it seems, and you know that's just part of it. But you know, if you ask me that question, I'm going to say, you know, I'm still struggling with memorizing a couple of verses. I'm still struggling. I've got a couple of them that have been my nemesis for years, and I'm still struggling. I might have to admit something like that, or whatever it might be. My friends, we need accountability, and in that accountability, it helps us to know that someone is going to be checking in with us. And therefore, we need to build connection that will help us in that. I recognize that in the life of any organization, there will be people along the way sometimes that lose connection. And there are a lot of reasons for that. You know, sometimes individuals leave the church for one reason or another. Sometimes they move. Sometimes they become disgruntled. Sometimes they may die. And they might have been key individuals where we found strength and encouragement. And we need to discover how we can rebuild those connections for people who are less connected at this time. This is one of the goals that I have for our shepherds in this coming year. And one of the hopes and things that I believe that we need to be very intentional about, and that is to help to be sure that we are ready and able to both help those who are disconnected find new places of connection and freshness in their walk with the Lord, but also help those who are brand new to us to find connection in their walk with the Lord and to find encouragement and strength. Friends, that is a part of what is so important in our lives, and it's so important in the life of our church. And that is what will help the church to begin to grow and to reflect in a really healthy and positive way. How do we do these other things? You know, it finishes up and it says to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on either one of those, but I think every one of us recognize the value of sharing a meal together. Sometimes we might want to share a meal because someone needs it, but sometimes we might want to share a meal because we need time with these people. We want to know who they are and what's going on, what makes them tick, how they are doing, and how they walk with the Lord, and how we can be encouraged. We want to share our meals. We want to share our burdens. We want to share life. We want to share the Word of God. And we want to be a witness to the world. We can do that much better when we are encouraging one another. And one of the best signs that we can give to the world, apart from a clear verbal testimony and gospel presentation, one of the clearest signs we can give to the world is a demonstration of our love for one another. The world will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another, Jesus said. And then to prayer. We need to pray together. Sometimes we don't pray together because we don't want to admit what we need prayer for. Sometimes we don't pray together because, you know, we feel like, well, praying with that person, they get so long-winded and it gets boring, and I didn't even know how to sit in a prayer time with them. But my friends, we so desperately need prayer. We need to get over the idea of long prayers being a problem. Even though I get distracted, I think every one of us gets distracted when someone else is praying a long prayer. I know you get distracted when I'm preaching a long sermon. Whew, I'm so glad you laughed. But we get distracted, yes, so easily. But we want to be devoted to prayer. And let me urge you and encourage you, where there are opportunities, pray with one another. Pray in the body of Christ. For 4 years now, it may not be four. It seems like it's been about four, but since COVID, we began to pray on Zoom together. But you know what? That's the only planned and scheduled prayer time in the life of our church right now. I know you pray when you're together with some others, in your Bible study classes, in your families, in other ways. But I think you're going to be hearing from me about new opportunities to gather for prayer. Electronic connection is really helpful. It really is. But it's not what everybody will respond to. And I want to urge you to be devoted to one another in prayer. I want to urge you in those things. Today, God's word is what teaches and instructs us, and hopefully God's word is always that thing which is going to trigger something in our lives. And I want to just ask you today that as we come to this time of response, that you might respond to what the word of God, the encouragement of this passage has said to you. And that you might even be ready to just simply say, okay, I'm gonna renew a commitment to some things that have become pretty lax in my life, in my Christian walk. And I know I'm gonna need some help for that, and so I'm gonna renew my commitment to every opportunity for good fellowship with God's people, with people who I know love me, even though they are not sure even right now in the moment how to connect well with me. I'm gonna do that so that I can begin to grow and become more and more and more and more like Jesus and dedicated. And as a result of that, I believe that we'll see some wonderful things happen in the life of our church. I believe that. I'm convinced of that. And I'm dedicated to that. What is your devotion as you begin a new year? Maybe it's to leave a few things behind. Maybe it's to find new connection, to find new ways to glorify God and to walk with Him in the life of His church. Let's pray. Our Father, I give thanks to You for this beautiful and glorious day. If we were awakened in the night, we heard the rain that falls outside our windows. And we know that the rain is that which gives refreshment to the earth, causes the plants to grow, and even provides the water that our bodies so desperately need. Lord Jesus, today, let the rain of Your word and of Your spirit pour down upon us and into our lives. For we know it's available. Lord, help us in whatever matter of repentance we need to deal with in life. And help us to find ourselves living in such a way that it does indeed bring glory to Your holy name. Father, we give thanks. And if there are decisions that need to be made, perhaps someone needs today even to say, I need to place my faith in Jesus and be born again. I need to repent of my sin, and I need to follow the Lord in obedience. Perhaps today would be a time, even in this time of response, they would say, yes, Lord Jesus, and share that with us. Perhaps there are things that just need really important spiritual business that needs to be done in individuals' hearts. May it be that this time will be afforded for that. Lord, we love You and we give thanks. And we ask that You help us to bring glory to Your name in the things that we say and do. And we give thanks to You today in Jesus' name. Amen.